Seattle's oldest public housing project, Yesler Terrace, is headed for a massive redevelopment, and that means years of upheaval for its 1,200 residents. At least they're guaranteed some kind of housing. Others are not so lucky. The poor economy has made a chronic shortage of subsidized housing in Seattle even worse. KPLU business and labor reporter Ashley Gross has more.
Mary's Place is a day center in Seattle where homeless women and their kids can get free meals, job assistance, and help finding housing. In a small room filled with toys, Diane Rivers sits with her bouncy 3-year-old daughter, Christina, who's doing puzzles on the floor. Her 6-year-old son, Elijah, and 14-year-old daughter, Jasmine, hang out with friends nearby. This room is a spot for Rivers to relax and feel safe. She and her kids have been homeless off and on for the past 3 years. Nights when they couldn't find a shelter, she stayed in diners, nursing one cup of coffee until it got light outside. She says the worst was one long, scary night at the Greyhound bus station.
There's all types of people that come through there, and I had to basically stay up all night just to make sure that nothing happened to my kids.
Rivers is a quiet woman, heavy set. She's trying to keep things as normal as possible for her kids, making sure they go to school. Her struggles weigh her down. It's her kids' pain that hurts the most, and she looks down with tears in her eyes as she describes what it's like for them to be homeless.
My son, he's the one that has the hardest time. He's in elementary school, and the kids tease him a lot. And it gets to the point where he doesn't want to go to school. Because there's kids at school that makes fun of him because he's homeless. And they think he's a dirty little bum.
Rivers became homeless after she fled an abusive relationship in Texas, back to Seattle where she had grown up. Her mom died in 2009, and she had no safety net.
Right now it's just like me and my three kids. We have nobody else to rely on. No family, nobody.
Things seemed to be looking up when she landed a spot in transitional housing 3 years ago. But that kind of bridge accommodation has a set time limit, and earlier this year, her time there ran out. She doesn't have a job. Her welfare benefits have run out. Now they're staying in shelters that Mary's Place runs. Rivers says she's been trying for years to get permanent subsidized housing and has applied all over the place.
Every single waiting list that there is, even to, like, low-income apartments, I'm even on those wait lists, and those wait lists are very long because people are not moving out of their place because they want to make sure they have a stable place for their families.
That's true. Andrew Lofton is executive director of the Seattle Housing Authority. He says since the recession, there's more demand for subsidized housing and fewer people are moving out.
We usually have a graduation rate, if you will, of individuals who ultimately earn enough income to move out of subsidized housing. We're seeing fewer of those individuals. So our turnover rate is much lower. People are staying longer in our housing and the wait lists are extensive.
The turnover rate for rental vouchers has slowed to half what it was before the recession hit. Seattle Housing Authority has a number of different wait lists, but Lofton gives one dramatic example of how much longer the wait has gotten for Jefferson Terrace, a building near downtown.
Back in 2008, 2007, the wait list there to get into Jefferson Terrace was less than a year. Today, it's almost 6 years.
Even as demand grows, federal funding for housing assistance is at risk. It could get slashed if Congress doesn't reach a compromise by the end of the year to avert automatic tax increases and spending cuts.
You'd say in Yiddish, it's a shanda. It's a shame. It's a societal shame.
That's Rachel Garshick-Kleet, a professor who studied Seattle's public housing developments. She says the U.S. government just doesn't prioritize affordable housing. Seattle has done a lot more than the rest of the country. Voters here have repeatedly approved higher taxes to pay for affordable housing, and the state also funds low-income programs. All of that, it's still not enough.
We still have problems. It's a very expensive metropolitan area, and we have a shortage of housing for people at the bottom.
In the basement of Mary's Place, women take turns holding babies. Diane Rivers' son huddles over a phone with some other kids playing games. Rivers is trying to stay hopeful. She used to work in nursing in Texas, and her goal is to get back to work.
Once I get my youngest one in daycare and get the kids' school schedules down, then I'll be able to return back to work or go to school and, you know.
In the meantime, she waits for her name to rise to the top of one of the housing lists. Until then, every week she has to pack up her stuff and her kids' stuff and move to a different shelter. She has to tell her daughters and son she can't save the artwork they've made for her. She doesn't have walls to put it on. Ashley Gross, KPLU News.